This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone, and welcome back to the ASI Weekly Q&A. With Sheikh Akram Nadwi on every Thursday at 6 p.m. GMT, as always. Without further ado, Sheikh, we have a few private questions, which is, Sheikh, is there a difference between the Shawahid strength in Bukhari versus Muslim? Similarly, the Mutaba'at in Bukhari and Muslim, are they comparably strong or are they different?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, the conditions for Shawahid and Mutaba'at, they are same. Basically, meaning is these are the people whose hadith cannot be relied upon, but they can be used for the support. So they are people who are honest, they are true, but they are not, proper scholars of the hadith. So they have some likeness in preserving the hadith or exactness of the hadith. With the narrator, there is some problem. Otherwise, they are true and they are honest. They understand things, but that's the problem because they are not, experts of the hadith. So their hadith only can be used for the support, not that we call i'timad. Their hadith is not for i'timad, rather than for istishhad. So it is same condition for shawahid, and same condition for mutaba. Some people call all of them shawahid. And all of them, these are just terms, people use each one of them for the names of the other. So some people use the word mutaba'at, they mean shawahid, they use shawahid, they mean mutaba'at.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. The next private question is, why did Imam Bukhari not include the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying he intended to fast the 9th of Muharram if he should live until the next year? Only Imam Muslim and Abu Dawood included.
Yeah, but I'm asking somewhere that this hadith is not a condition of Bukhari. Similarly, hadith of Arafah, so there are hadith which are Muslim, but they are not Bukhari because they are not in conditions. Some narrators, they are not in Bukhari's condition. Bukhari and Muslim, they share the same conditions, but they differ whether the conditions are, fulfilled certain narrators or not. So that's why they missed time literally. Why Muslim Bukhari did not include the hadith of 10th of Muharram, or similarly hadith of 9th of Arafah in his book.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. And the final anonymous question we got is there any established practice amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to fast extra during the inviolable months, the Ashhurul Hurum?
I don't know really anything like that, that they would fast something. Many of them used to fast 3 days a month, the 13th, 14th, 15th. They would fast Monday and Thursday. And some people used to fast every other day. And there actually have been some people used to fast every day. Some companions and many tabi'in, they used to fast every day. So they have been fasting, but I don't know anybody intended to fast just in the month of Ashhurul Hurum.
Jazakallah khairan. We'll now move on to the questions being asked in the comment section. So the first question is by Muhammad Aqib, who asks, do we know why Ibn Taymiyyah didn't get married, especially knowing that it is a highly recommended sunnah, and will it be allowed for someone to follow him in this regard?
Yeah, not only Ibn Taymiyyah, there are many people who did not marry, and some people have opinion that being busy in the knowledge of the ibadah is better than making yourself busy with the marriage. So there are the opinion like that, but the majority of people think, marriage is sunnah and one should marry. But that not make it sunnah for everybody. There are people for whom the marriage is a fard, a wajib. If somebody think if he does not marry, he would fall in the sin, and he can afford the marriage, then the marriage is obligatory on him. If there are people who think if they marry, they're going to harm their wives, and they are not going to pay the rights properly, they are too busy or outside, or maybe there's some problem weakness, then marriage for people like that is haram or makruh. So it depends on how the person, somebody could be busy so much and he think he cannot actually spend time with the wife, then people like that, it is better not to marry. You know, Tamiya is very, very busy. And, you know, in jihad and da'wah, so many times in the prison. Even actually, he wrote a letter to his mother that, you know, he how much he wants to be spend time with her. But because of the business and the knowledge and ibad and da'wah and jihad, he could not visit her so often and in the prison. So even if he could not see the mother. That's very, very moving letter. We don't know, he never said why he did not marry, but we can understand really that he spent so much time in all these things, so busy. Our Sheikh, Sheikh Muhammad Yunus Yanpuri, Sheikh al-Hadith from Saharanpur, he did not marry. The reason is because he was so busy with the books and he realized really he would not give time to his wife. So it is better, you know, not to harm anybody. So that's why he did not marry. The people know their excuse better. People should not just follow a scholar, you should follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you can find your excuse. So if you really are busy like them, and you think you cannot, you know, be just to your wife and fair to her, yeah, then don't marry.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question, also by Muhammad Akib, is, do you have any personal tips for sleeping less, Sheikh?
I don't really think people need to sleep less, really. What they need is not to waste their time. So, you know, sleep properly, there's no harm in that. Allah is not going to ask you why did you sleep so much. But He's going to ask you if you're wasting your time. You know, the problem is not that people don't have enough time. The problem is that people are wasting their time. Gossiping, you know, social media and friends and eating and drinking, you know, all those things. The first thing is, instead of sleeping less, manage your time well. That will be more helpful. One becomes tired anyway. You know, like I am working and then become tired and lying down. So sleeping is good. So I don't think you need to actually make yourself to sleep less. Sleep properly, but don't waste your time.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Fatiha, who asks, Salam ya Sheikh, can we understand the word basira mentioned in the story of Yusuf? Is the wisdom gained by experience, or is it mere knowledge of the religion? Jazakallahu khairan.
No, basira actually means, you know, it's not with the eye, it is with the heart. It means with the heart of the people becomes more clean and pious. So they understand things much clearly, which other people don't understand. Many people, you know, what happens in this world is they look for the short term gain. They think, you know, this is. But the people who are clever and they are pious, they look for the long-term gain, that what will happen, and what the consequences will be, what will the hereafter. So to them, saving their energy for those works where the reward is much, much higher, to them is more important. But some people think, you know, enjoy the life, eat and drink, go with the friends, you know. So they like that. But some people think, if I go with the friends, then in that time I could have a written book of, oh, I could have done something much better. So, you know, so these are the things. The basira basically is the insight of the heart. From the heart you can see, understand the matter.
Barakallahu feek, Sheikh. The next question is by Fariha, who asks, I'm an ustada in a woman's madrasa. What are the basic principles of Islam should I teach the ladies who are housewives aged between 30 to 50 years old, apart from namaz and Quran?
You know, you should teach everything. You know, whatever they need to learn, they need to learn about the prayer, about the Quran. They want to learn, you know, about the life, family life, buying and selling. Anything they want to learn, and you know how to teach it, then you should teach. You know, the women should learn as the men learn. Women can teach as the men teach. There's no limit for the knowledge. You know, people should teach as much as possible. To anybody who comes to you to learn, and you can teach, you should teach. Especially if somebody wants to learn, you know, you should encourage. So I don't think there's any restriction for that. You know, you should teach whatever, you know, you usually can teach. But don't teach if you don't know. Yeah, this is important. You have to teach only what you know.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Ibn Muhammad, who asks, Sheikh, what is the meaning of the hadith لَمَّا سَوَّرَ اللَّهُ آدَمَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ تَرَكَهُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَتْرَكَهُ فَجَعَلَ إِبْلِيسُ يَطِيفُ بِهِ يَنْظُرُ مَا هُوَ فَلَمَّا رَاهُ أَجْوَفَ عَرَفَ أَنَّهُ خُلِقَ خَلْقًا لَا يَتْمَى لَكُ.
You know, the thing basically is, you know, Iblis, because he's the enemy of Adam. So he was looking really how can he mislead Adam al-Islam. So he has some knowledge. He knows that people who are really have got inside empty, they must have desire. And desire is the best thing through which I can mislead the people and can influence them. So that was he looking for that. He knew really that many people desire, they don't think properly. And that how you can influence them. You know, for example, you can see when the people are very angry or they are very hungry, they want to eat food, or they are very scared, you know, fearful. Whenever people have got something like that, it is very easy to influence them, and they don't have actually right mind to judge something. So that what Iblis has realized. And through these things, he mislead everybody.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Anika, who asks, is it okay for a Muslim woman to take care of her skin, her hair, and body by using good quality skincare, healthcare, and body care products that not only maintains hygiene, but enhances the natural beauty of the skin, hair, and body?
You know, there's no harm for the men to take care of their skin and the beauty and whatever there is. But is there exaggeration about that? That is the problem. And sometimes, actually, many of these producers and the companies who sell these products, they befool the people and they basically just take their money. And what happens is, as I have learned from the people who are expert of this field, so they say what happens is you have got a skin light problem, which can be easily cured by some normal way. But what happens, you buy a product, a cream, apply it. Now next time you depend on the cream and your conditions will become worse and worse and you become dependent. And then you need a stronger cream, more cream. So these creams, they make your body weaker, your skin weaker, be careful about this matter. Like you know, many medical treatments, sometimes people get headache, which they easily can remove by, you know, oiling, massage, or something like that. But they use, painkiller or this and that. Then in the future, their body becomes weaker as they depend on those painkillers. So I will not advise the women, don't depend on these creams so much. Otherwise, you always depend upon them. You spend money on that. And you will always feel, if you don't apply them, you will not look so good. So always depend upon that. So this is my advice. Otherwise, use whatever you like, really. But generally, I advise don't be dependent on these things.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. Before we continue, a brief announcement. As-Salam Institute is running two courses, short courses in the near future. The first course is a one-day course with Sheikh Akram Nadwi on jinn possession, the evil eye, and black magic. This will take place on Sunday, 3rd of March. It will be an online course that will take place from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. UK time. So details are on the As-Salam Institute website, which I will share in the comments. The second course that we are running is a course titled The Quran in Conversation with the Bible, Theory and Case Studies in Intertextuality with Professor Saqib Hussain. This course will take place later this February as well, but the early bird discount ends this week. So do sign up. I will share the links in the comment section, so please do keep an eye out for them. Without further ado, Sheikh will continue with the questions. The next question, Sheikh, is by Muhammad Sha'ban, who asks, Salam, Sheikh, what is your view regarding the hadith in Bukhari regarding the height of Adam alayhi salam being 60 cubits tall? Is it sahih?
Yeah, the hadith is sahih and the condition of Bukhari. But one has to be careful, you know, that these people, they do their best, to include the hadith condition. But they are still human beings. Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, most of his hadiths are from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he was very keen to learn more and more. So there was Kaaba al-Ahbar, who was a Jew converted to Islam. He has so much knowledge of the earlier scriptures. And Abu Huraira, who used to learn from him as well, many, many things. And whenever he narrated, he used to make clear what he got from the Prophet and what he got from Kaaba al-Ahbar. But many, many muhaddithin say some people who are not so strong, sometimes they confuse what he got from Kaaba al-Ahbar. These people attributed to the Prophet by mistake. Even good people can do mistake. So some of those mistakes happen. So our Shaykh Muhammad Yunus Jaunpuri, rahmatullah ta'ala, who taught Bukhari more than 50 years, his opinion, when I asked him this question really, his opinion was that this hadith is not from the Prophet ﷺ, but rather it is from Kaaba al-Ahbar. And by mistake, it has been attributed to the Prophet ﷺ. So this is true. This is a Jewish knowledge, Jewish source, not the Islamic source. Because, you know, what we can see really from the earliest, human, body that people can see, it all same like us. There's not much difference. So this, it could be Adam was like getting in paradise, but when he came down to this earth, same like us.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Shahriyar, who asks, how can I understand if I have Iman or I am affected by Nifaq?
Nobody can understand this thing actually, but your fear that you have Nifaq, that is sign that you have Iman. Because people who are believers, they fear. Like the company, the Hasan Basri, I've seen so many companions, all of them used to fear that they have Nifaq. Same Ibn Abi Mulaika said that he got more than 30 companions. Everybody used to fear they have got Nifaq. So fearing Nifaq is a good sign. And people, if somebody think that, I'm fine, I'm a good believer, they are the one who have problem. So don't worry, keep working hard, making dua, do the ibadah, read the Quran, and fear the Nifaq, that's fine. Like anybody, people who have good health, they fear if their illness can happen, they lose, their health. So they fear, and that's what makes them even better. So fear of Nifaq is not a bad thing, really. It's good. It makes you a better believer.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Adil, who asks, Sheikh, didn't our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam interpret the Quran and make it final? As a student of Arabic, I see so much differences in opinion from Basra to Kufa to Mufassirun of Quran. Who decides what the truth is?
No, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not interpret the Quran. I really think he liked tafsir. He used to read the Quran to Arabs, and they are used to understand their language. And those teaching the Quran with a nice practice, then he practices them, like fasting, zakat, hajj, the prayer. So he showed to the people how to pray. You can't learn the prayer from the Quran. So the things which belong to the action and practice, he showed them. And sometimes people ask him certain verses and explain the meaning. But rest of them, he left to the people's understanding. And the Quran is a very clear book. Kitab Mubin, I've written some articles about that. Quran is a very clear book. If people make effort to understand it, in nearly 90%, maybe more than that, very easy to understand. The difficulty comes when people have got their own ideas and they want to get support for those ideas from the Quran. That way they get the problem. Like if you are Hanafi or Maliki or Shafi or Hanbali, you want to use Quran to support your madhab, or you are Sharif, Maturidi, or Salafi, so you want to prove your aqidah from the Quran. When you have an idea like that, then it's a problem. But if you don't have all these ideas, and you just want to follow the Quran, it is a very, very clear book. So anyway, the Prophet did not teach people the meaning of every single thing. That is people's language. So people have to differ, but difference among the later people become more and more. The reason is because of their madhab, schools, and because they ignore us of Arabic language or Arabic culture, because if you don't know the Arab society at that time, you can do mistake. So the problem has to like that. It is very important to learn Arabic language at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to know Arab society very well, to know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These things can help you to understand more, and then you know really that most of the difference is just made up by the people. They don't they don't come from the Quran. So don't worry, keep making effort, you will find the truth, inshallah.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. The next question we have is by Abdul Ahad, who asks, I heard there is a hadith in Sahih Muslim which some consider a mistake. It says that Allah created clay on Saturday, the mountains, and so on till the creation of Adam alayhi salam after Asr on Friday. They say that this goes against the Quran, saying that Allah created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, not seven. Is this opinion correct?
Yeah, there have been people who criticizing the hadith of Sahih Muslim. Many, as I mentioned, really, Bukhari, Muslim, they are experts. But it does not mean experts don't do mistake. Experts of any field can do the mistake. Sibawa is such a great imam of Arabic language. He did mistakes. Everybody can do mistake. Sina is such a great philosopher, but he did a mistake. Taymiyya did a mistake. Walillah Dehlavi did a mistake. Same with Bukhari, Muslim, they are best people. But they still could do mistake. So there are not only one. There are few hadith in Muslim, few in Bukhari, where people criticize that they have done mistake. This is one of them. Though actually there are people who defend Muslim, and they think this hadith is not a contradiction of the Quran. They still can find a way how to reconcile between both of them. So I've discussed this in detail in my book, Commentary on Sahih Muslim. Once it's published, you can see it. But anyway, both opinions exist. Some people think it contradicts the Quran, then they did the hadith of Muslim, and some people make effort to find how to reconcile between both of them.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. The next question, which isn't a question but more of a comment from Muhammad Sharik Khan, is that, Sheikh, we want you to write a tafsir that would include deep meanings, explanation of each word, and the reason of its use in particular places of the Quran.
This is one of my intentions, inshallah. Just 1 or 2 years I'm busy, to finish some of my incomplete works. So once I'm done, inshallah, then my intention is to write a short, that's not very long one. There's like 2 volumes in English, in Arabic and Urdu, 3 languages. So that's my plan, is to write 3 languages, inshallah. So make dua, when it happens. And my intention is to make a Quran, easier for common people, the learned people, to can understand the Quran without going so much detail. That's it. The real message should be clear to the people.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. And another question by Muhammad Sharik Khan is, Sheikh, you share different types of topics on your Telegram channel. How can people send you their questions for you to write an article and a long response on it?
Yeah, sometimes people ask me, so what you can do, you can send a question to my, WhatsApp, and then, but don't send so many questions, because every week I receive 2, 3, 4 questions, maybe more, but I don't answer every question. I answer some questions, which I think will be beneficial for the people. So you can send your questions, and whenever I am, I can see that I should write, I'll write, inshallah. But don't think that I'm going to answer every question, because sometimes I come too much and I'm so much busy doing so many other things. So the best way basically is send the question to my WhatsApp, and then I look at and answer, inshallah.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. Another question we've got from Muhammad Aqib is, how much should we think or worry about how people perceive us? Are we allowed to be in solitude as much as possible?
Don't worry about the people, I don't really think that matters. Just think about yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just think, look really how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, how much I obey him, how much I can be safe from the sins. Do I backbite? Do I humiliate people? Do I hurt anybody? Do I harm anybody? If I've got money, do I share my money with poor people, needy people? Do I learn properly? Do I teach people? How you might pray? Think about yourself. Don't worry about the world, really. They are not going to judge you on the death judgment. Allah is going to judge you. Just think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him to forgive you and be ready for the day of judgment. If you think about the people, you never can be in peace, because nobody will like it. If you pray long prayer, they will say you are showing off. If you pray shorter, they say, see, he does not even know how to pray. Whatever you do, some people criticize you.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. The next question we've got is by Fawzia, who asks, Please advise how the money of a deceased person should be shared with family if the deceased person has no children or spouse.
Yeah, if he has no children or spouse, still, if he has got parents, the parent will take, a mother will take, and the father will take. If he does not have a father or mother, then maybe brothers are there and other people. The same, best thing is write down who has been left behind and send me the question, then I'll answer you, inshallah. That's the best thing. Otherwise, whatever I answer, I don't know the whole thing. The first thing you have to write down who are, you know, alive, among the relatives of the deceased person. Then I can find the right answer, inshallah.
Inshallah. The next question is by Haris Khan, who asks, do you have to read Taraweeh? Can you read as many rakats as you want? Does it have to be 20? If you miss it, are you sinful?
You know, I've returned again, you know, on Taraweeh so many times, but I think people don't read anyway. Find out the article so you can understand the whole thing. The summary of the answer is Taraweeh Sunnah. And the reason the Prophet did not do it, because he was scared that Allah will make it further. He does not want to be further. The first thing is Sunnah, it is not further. So if it is convenient to, if you are doing a job and work and you think if you pray Taraweeh, it will affect you, then don't pray Taraweeh, just do further. If you pray Isha and Fajr in Jama'ah, then you get the reward of the prayer of the whole night. But if you think you can pray Taraweeh, then pray. But you don't necessarily need 20 rak'ah, you can do 10 rak'ah, you can do 8 rak'ah, you can do 4 till like Nawafil. And actually, it is better to do Taraweeh at home rather than masjid. You know, because the Prophet has said, every prayer at home is better, you know, than the masjid, except the further one. So this ayat habit that people pray Taraweeh in the masjid, that is not the sunnah of the Prophet. Most companions used to pray Taraweeh at home. So pray at home, whatever convenient to you. Maybe you can pray some rak'ah after Isha, and pray some rak'ah in the morning when you get up for suhoor. You can divide like that. But there's no condition that it must be 20. It could be any number.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. The next question by Faisal, who says, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Question one, is action part of Iman? If not, how are we to understand when Iman increases and decreases?
Yeah, you know, actions are part of Iman, because when you act, then your Iman increases in like anything. When, for example, you know, if you're learning, you know, about the computer, you know, you run theory, but then after that, you know, you start working on the computer, you learn more and more to increase your knowledge. Similarly, you learn medicine, you become a medical doctor, and then you do your practice, then your knowledge increases. When amal comes, then knowledge increases. So people, you know, believe in Allah, put their faith in Him, but then after that, they obey Him, they do ibadah, they avoid the sins, they read more Quran, so their iman increases. So iman will increase. That's what the meaning of increase is, if the quality of iman increases. The people who said the iman does not increase, what they meant is that iman always has to be the same thing. You have to believe in Allah, His messengers, the books, the angels, the day of judgment. So then, these are the things you can't, there's no iman for more than these things. That does not increase or decrease ever. You don't become believer unless you believe in all those things. If you miss any of them, you're not a believer. So you don't, that what they meant. Otherwise, the quality of iman, everybody knows it decrease, you know, because of amal. So amal and practice is very, very important.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. And the last question I think we'll take for today is one that you've spoken about a few times, Sheikh, but I think people want the answer to. It's a question by Hamad, who says, some people insist that the Jummah khutbah be in Arabic, even though the US is an English-speaking country. What should we do about this?
Yeah, no, I've again actually written on this matter. You know, I wrote it so many things. So people don't understand it. The khutbah of the Jummah is a speech, you know, a sermon that the Prophet used to give to advise people, to teach them. So that, you know, on Friday, the people used to come and then he, you know, very nice, good speech for that occasion, and people used to understand it. So that about khutbah is it. So wherever are people, they should give a speech in the language of the people. Otherwise, what will happen is, on Jummah, you have to do many khutbahs. One in Arabic, then one in Bengali, one in Urdu, one in English. All the time go to the khutbahs. so many speeches because you know nobody understands Arabic. So it is a very bad manner. Give the khutbah in the language that most of people understand. Prepare for that. Give the message. Some people say there are ulama who say Arabic is a conditional. But you know, thing really is in Hanafi madhab, if you say Alhamdulillah, khutbah is done. So I said to the people, when you start the khutbah in English, start with Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and this is Salat and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, read a few verses from the Quran, and rest of them I say, give in English. So every madhab it is fine. And Imam Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, his opinion is that even the prayer is allowed in non-Arabic language, in Persian or any language. Even for those who know Arabic, they can do the prayers in Persian, in any language. If you allow the prayer, why not khutbah? The same thing. That Abu Hanifa rahimahullah's opinion in Bada'u Sana'a, in Hanafi sources. So, you know, think really a very bad manner to make khutbah in a language which nobody understands. And the Arabic that these khatib speak is very bad, very ugly. It does not make any sense really. So it looks like Arabic language. But there's no sunnah of khutbah is fulfilled in that language. So people should give khutbah in the language that most people understand among the audience.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. That's all for today, unfortunately. If your question hasn't been answered, please remember it, and perhaps we can aim to answer it next week. Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh, for your time. And jazakallahu khairan, everyone, for joining. And we'll be back next week, Thursday at 6 p.m. GMT, as always. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.